Welcome into the Air Raid Sports Podcast. I am Chandler Carney, and with me as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
We are back for season two, baby. Are you looking forward to it?
Feels good, doesn't it?
It does. We are very close to college football season.
Well, it feels good to be close to college football. It doesn't feel good outside.
Not at all.
You would know, wouldn't you, after the day you've had?
Yeah, to get to come home and do this is definitely worth it, though.
You gonna go haul hay anytime soon again?
Never again in my life.
Never?
Never. It's not worth the money.
That bad, huh?
That bad. Oof. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely. I honestly, while I was doing it, I was thinking, I really don't understand how these guys are out here in this heat just playing football.
Yeah, it's rough.
I don't think I would love it that much.
I don't think I could do it. I'd pass out and die.
It was terrible.
They do it every day, full pads.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Respect.
They're a different breed of people, man.
Well, obviously.
But, I mean, even the ones that are kind of sucky, you kind of think, man, I couldn't do what they're doing, so they're definitely better than me.
Oh, they're 100% better than anything we could be, physically, on a football field, anything.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about Dak Prescott for a minute. And really,
the hot topic of the NFL?
Yeah, there's a couple. I think the Antonio Brown saga has kind of died down a little bit.
Yeah, he's back. He's been back around practice, so everything there is sort of chill.
Yeah, I feel like that all was just a publicity stunt for Hard Knocks.
Probably so.
Like, that's like people were saying, well, this Hard Knocks sucks. The first episode wasn't that good.
It wasn't.
So you have to juice it up.
Yeah.
Hollywood, baby. But does Dak Prescott deserve his $40 million contract that he's asking for?
No.
I think it's that simple also.
I think when he was offered $30 million, he should have taken it on the spot. No questions asked.
I would not have batted an eye.
No.
He's not worth $30
million. No. He's not going to get $30 million if he hits the open market from any other team but the Cowboys.
I don't know if he'd get $25
million. That's it.
Unless somebody just like the Jaguars, you know, paid Nick Foles. That's a pretty lucrative contract for Nick Foles.
Nick Foles also has a Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay, but they really desperately needed a quarterback, and yeah. I think they overpaid for him just a little bit.
Well, the boat had sailed for Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
So it was time for him to get out of there, and looks like he may get a ring in New England.
I just don't understand why you don't tank if you're the Jaguars.
I don't either. You got nothing to lose. Your fans already expect you to suck.
Yeah. Go out and get a real – I guess the last time they did that, they got Blaine Gabbert, and we saw how that worked out.
Just tank and get Trevor Lawrence, and everything's okay.
Yeah. So, a lot of people are saying that Dak Prescott deserves his $30 million. And a lot of people are saying that he asked for $40 million so he could have $32 to $35 million, and that he deserves that contract.
Overpaid.
Highly overpaid. I think Michael Thomas was overpaid, but I would rather give him a $100 million contract than Dak Prescott this one.
Yes, easily.
Now, do I think that Dak Prescott is worth $20 million? Yes.
Yeah.
I do. I think that especially if Mariota or Winston, who's on the last leg of their contract, if they get the $20 million.
Dak's well worth $20 million if they can get it.
Yes.
I don't think they're worth $20
million. I don't either. And that's like someone says that Mariota and Prescott are very similar in their play styles. And they are. And I like Mariota. He just can't stay healthy, and he doesn't deserve $20 million a year.
I think they're going to have a very good year if he can stay healthy because their defense is stout.
Yeah.
Something nobody's talking about. They have very good defense.
And they've added depth at the receiver, which literally – they were dependent on Corey Davis last year, and he was very, very shaky.
Well, you can't depend on one guy in the NFL because if you have no one else, they're getting doubled all night, every night. And you have nobody else to throw the ball to, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So you double Corey Davis, stack the box against Derrick Henry, and dare the other guys to beat you one-on-one.
You think Derrick Henry, you know, he's probably going to average 30 touches a game.
Yeah.
And now you have to keep Mariota healthy. And
the thing is, if Mariota's healthy, the dude still runs 4.4, 4.5 speed.
Yeah.
So he can break, contain, and go run some RPO stuff for you.
I think he willed Tennessee to that playoff victory over Kansas City two years ago.
No doubt.
But my question is, with the whole Dak thing, you kind of have to compare it around the league. And people are saying, well, Russell Wilson got, you know, his $35 million a year.
Russell Wilson won the Seahawks a Super Bowl and should have too.
Russell Wilson also did not get a big contract, his second contract, because he was willing to let the defensive people get paid.
Yes.
And then
he waited his time.
They all had a falling out with Pete Carroll and everything, and he's the one that stayed. And it was because the organization made it clear that we're gonna pay Russell.
Yes.
We don't care about y'all anymore. You're too old, you're not gonna do what we need you to do. And so when it comes to get time to paid, he calls their bluff and he's like, look, you're either gonna pay me like you said you were when you got rid of our whole team to pay me.
Because there was a lot of people thought he was going to the Giants right before the draft.
Yeah, like there was a lot of speculation about that. And then at the last, very last minute,
they signed him. I think it's smart.
Yeah, like if you got rid of your whole team for this one guy,
you better sign him.
You better be backing up the Loomis trucks to his house.
You have to.
Yes.
Because he's what you've put all your faith in, and now you have to build around him and go forward.
But if you ever notice, quarterbacks really don't hit the market that much.
No, everybody gets extensions before they're hitting the market.
So we sit here and we talk about market values all the time. Well, just because Russell Wilson's at $35 million, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the market value for a quarterback.
Exactly.
I think the market value for the quarterback is somewhere in the $23 to $28 million range.
I'd agree. Because you think you still have to pay all these people around you who help you be as successful as you are.
Yeah, and
what happens? You pay Dak wants $40 million. Okay, we're coming to you. We'll pay you $40 million, but in turn, we can't re-sign Zeke and two offensive linemen,
or Amari Cooper, who is your number one threat.
And they all walk. We're gonna find out that you're not worth $40 million
easily. Like that's you'll find that out week three, and he'll regret it. Like, well, I'm getting paid, exactly. But I'm not winning
because he'll have no help.
I think that if you look at the Cowboys, Jerry Jones really wants to remake the Troy Aikman, the Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith era.
Yes.
And he has that.
He has his three. He's just got to lock them up and pay them.
And they're all wanting to get paid.
They all want to be the top paid at their position.
And I think that one of them
Only one of them has an argument.
I think Zeke has an argument to be paid the highest running back.
Yes. He's run the rushing title the past two seasons.
And you look out at the Chargers, Jerry Jones is really sweating bullets thinking, if they pay Melvin Gordon,
he's screwed.
I'm going to have to pay Zeke more.
You have to. Or you just let him sit out the season.
That's why I guarantee you that the Chiefs are sitting here looking at the Cowboys thinking, please, for the love of God, do not pay this man $40 million because Mahomes is going to ask for $60 million.
Yes. And then the whole cap has to move and the league totally changes.
Yeah. It'll happen. Like they're the one team that does not want this to happen.
I agree.
Yeah. And I don't blame them for it either.
Because if Dak's worth 40, the Mahomes of the world are worth 50, 60 easily. If you're telling me Dak is worth 40, Mahomes is worth 60.
Yeah. It's very simple.
But then you're going to have people saying, oh, he's not worth that much money.
I think that Mahomes, if the Chiefs paid him $40 million a year, when his contract's up in 2-3 years, whatever,
yeah,
I think that that would be stupid, first of all.
That's too much money.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
but it's more reasonable to think that he gets $40 million.
If he continues on what he did last year.
Yeah, yeah.
If he has 3 more years like he did last year, he's well deserved of 40.
Yes.
Because he is what makes that team go. He was the focal point of that offense.
They also had Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt for most of the season. And Chubb came on. No. I don't know why I'm thinking of the Browns and said Chubb.
There you go, man. Think of the Browns.
I don't know why I said
that. Think of the Browns, man.
But they came on. I mean, Travis Kelce was their number one threat and still is.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill's really good, really fast, but Kelsey's going to be there when you need him.
A lot of people are high on their first or their wide receiver they took from Georgia.
Which one was it?
I'm not 100% sure which one it was.
Was it Mecole?
Yeah,
he scored the touchdown last night.
Yeah, they took Mecole. And there's you another guy who can run a 4-4 straight down the seam.
Fromm really liked Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
And that says a lot, you know, to me, if Jake Fromm likes him as the number one threat after the receivers that he's had.
Jake Fromm's your guy, though.
That is very true.
Jake Fromm is your guy.
Did you ever hear the story of that Jake Fromm told, and they're talking on TV, and he's asked a question. I think it's like with Maria Taylor and one of the other ones, maybe Holly Rowe, and they ask him, what receiver says that they're always open? And he doesn't hesitate. He's like, Mecole. He thinks he's always open. He's like, just put it up, man. I'm going to catch it. And Jake's like, dude, you don't see the corner creeping in or the safety coming.
You're not open.
Like, you're not, I promise.
You're not open.
If you were, I'd throw it to you.
But that's a mindset you have to have, though.
Yes. I'm always open. Just put it up.
And that's, as a quarterback, I'm sure that speaks volumes to you that you can trust that guy.
Yeah.
Or you hope to.
You don't have to trust him on first and 10 from the 30.
No. When you have DeAndre Swift in your backfield.
Yeah. You just need to put the ball. If it's fourth and 10 game on the line, yeah, make that throw.
Put it up.
Yeah.
But no need to force anything.
So, Since we got the Cowboys things out of the way, let's talk a little NFL predictions. Who do you predict will go to the Super Bowl? And do you think Mahomes is going to have as good of a year as he had last year? I think that's a big question. Who's your MVP?
I believe Mahomes can repeat and put up the same numbers again this year.
You think he can, or you think he will?
I think he can.
I think he can.
I don't know if he will. I don't know necessarily he's going to throw for 5,050 touchdowns. But 4,540 touchdowns, that's very realistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
He may eclipse 5,000 a year. It's possible with his weapons. And he has the best arm talent in the league. So you can't.
He has what?
The best arm talent in the league.
What, define arm talent.
The strongest arm in the league.
Okay. Okay, then you have to say he's got the strongest arm.
Same thing.
No. Who's got better arm talent?
Yes.
Drew Brees.
When I say arm talent, I mean just rear back and throw it.
Okay, but see, when I say arm talent, like I
accuracy,
mean, like, he can spin that shit, and he can. Don't get me wrong; like I'm not saying he can't.
He's up there top five.
You're saying that you define it as he can throw the ball 80 yards.
Yeah,
he can throw the ball out of Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah,
yeah, that's just a strong arm to me, and he has the strongest arm.
I think he's top five overall arm.
Yeah, I'll agree.
When you look
at
all the metrics, he's top five. Drew Brees is top five.
Drew Brees is definitely top five in every category.
Yes, ever.
Yes. I think Aaron Rodgers has, if you're talking
Aaron Rodgers has
strength,
arm talent.
Yeah. He's a gunslinger. So is Phillip Rivers. Yes. And I think Mahomes fits that category, that mold. But I really feel like Mahomes is going to be a different type of gunslinger.
He's sort of like Brett Favre to me.
Yeah.
He thinks he can put it anywhere at any time.
And Brett Favre is the greatest gunslinger to ever live
yes.
and play the game.
No dispute.
None. But I think Mahomes is very close to that.
That's what gets Mahomes in trouble, though.
But
he thinks he can put everything everywhere.
Remember when Bo Wallace was at Ole Miss and he felt like he could throw the ball through a donut hole at all times?
Yeah, and he tried to.
That's a lot of confidence in your arm. And
that's why you had good Bo and bad Bo.
Yeah.
If he just played within himself, he would have been fine.
Yeah.
But he thought he threw the ball 150 miles an hour, and he didn't.
You can kind of look at his throw motion. He didn't have a great mechanics.
And a terrible shoulder.
Yeah, and I'm not sitting here talking about Wallace because he's one of my favorite Ole Miss players ever.
Oh, yeah.
But Mahomes, I feel like, could actually put the ball in a donut hole.
He can.
Throwing no-look passes.
Easily.
Do I think he should have been MVP last year? No.
Yes.
I don't think he'll be MVP this year.
Who is Drew Brees?
I guess Dak Prescott if they pay him $40
million. He should be.
You got to be MVP if you think you deserve that.
If you're getting $40 million, you better win the MVP.
You better win a Super Bowl.
You better keep
Jason Garrett as your head coach.
It's not going to happen. They need to fire Jason Garrett yesterday and hire their defense coordinator.
Like they did with the offense. And they hired Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
was about to say killing Mon, but I was like, that ain't right.
No.
So who's your Super Bowl predictions? We got kind of sidetracked.
Yeah. I'm going to go the Chiefs get out of the AFC this year because they have a window.
Surprise.
Okay.
You're not going to go with the Browns?
No, not this year. I think they're still a year or two away. They're going to compete for it. They're going to win their division, but I don't think they can get past the Chiefs.
We out here with some bold predictions for Brady Scott.
They're going to win the division. They may even get to the AFC Championship game if the defense is what it should be. But I think the Chiefs get there.
You're riding high hopes, man. Okay. I've been there. I've sat there. I've rode that wagon plenty of times.
And I'm going to say the Bears' offense is a little better this year. And since Cody Parkey isn't there, I picked the Chiefs versus the Bears in the Super Bowl. And I have the Bears upsetting the Chiefs because the Bears have the best defense.
That is a very good prediction. I did not see that coming.
That's why I didn't tell you earlier. I was just going to see what happened there.
So my prediction is...
You want to score for that?
You don't want to score for it?
Yeah.
If it's the Chiefs and the Bears?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Okay. The Bears win 27-24. Ironically, they kick a field goal to win it.
But not Cody Parkey.
No, because he's gone. He's double-doinked out of there.
He'll forever live in the hearts of Chicago Bear fans.
Double-doink.
I think my prediction is very predictable.
Well, the Saints are out of the NFC, so who's your AFC team?
I think the Saints will get there this year. I think this is the year.
Their window's closed.
I think after this year is closed. And I've never said that before, but I genuinely believe that this year is the last year that they have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
They better do it.
And if it does not happen this year, I don't think that it'll happen for a very long time.
We'll see.
I just think with the teams in the AFC, I mean the NFC, really, you have the Bears that bring back a lot of talent. You have the Rams bring back a lot of talent.
Vikings.
I don't think the Vikings bring back as much talent altogether. Like, they have really good key players. Stephon Diggs.
I think that Richardson from their defensive line that the Browns picked up, I think that's going to be a keyhole that they wish they would have signed him back.
Yeah.
Because he's a plug in the center of the defensive line.
But really, other than those two teams, in my opinion, I don't think there's anyone else that legitimately has a chance to contend for the title. I think you're looking at those three teams.
My dark horse in the NFC would be the Falcons.
My dark horse would be the Eagles if Wentz can stay healthy.
I just think too many people are on the Eagles right now.
Just because they won the Super Bowl a few years ago?
Yeah. Everybody's going to say, oh, Carson Wentz is healthy. They're going to go.
That's why I said if he's healthy. I don't think he'll be fully healthy all season. Yeah. I mean, he's the next Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Just can't stay healthy.
Andrew Luck can't stay healthy. Andrew Luck missed the first three games, and Chad Kelly plays well. Andrew Luck comes back and struggles for three games. It's not going to happen, but Indianapolis is going to want Chad Kelly as their quarterback.
Swag Kelly, baby.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen, but
I had
to get that
out
there. I
think he'll start week one. Chad Kelly, that is.
He's better than Jacoby Brissett, I will say that.
Yes, absolutely.
Confidently.
Yes.
If he doesn't wander in someone's house at 2 a.m., he's the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos right now.
Yeah.
And they never have to go get Joe Flacco, which I don't know why they did in the first place.
He's a reliable quarterback.
Okay.
He is a very reliable quarterback.
Yeah. What do you want to do? Be reliable or win Super Bowls?
For the Broncos, they just want to be reliable.
Because honestly, he's got his ring, and that's all he's going to get.
You've seen so much inconsistent play out of quarterbacks in Denver over the years. He's the only guy that can bring you consistency.
I mean, I guess you're right if you can protect him.
Yeah.
We'll see
how Phillip Lindsay stays healthy.
That's a big key to them.
Yeah. But out of the AFC, my prediction is I think the Chargers have a chance to actually go deep this year if Melvin Gordon doesn't get traded.
But yeah, because the defense is solid.
I don't think that – and obviously, surprising enough, none of their wide receivers or pass threats have actually gotten hurt yet.
Not yet, but it's going to happen.
I think if they're all healthy, I think the Chargers and the Saints will go to the Super Bowl.
I can see it.
But now, if
I just don't know if the Saints defense will be as good as it was last year. Can they continue? Can they play at that level again?
I mean, that is a big question mark. The linebackers are a question mark, but I think Alex Anzalone has come a long way.
Yeah. Can they play at that level again? And if they do, they have a great shot.
I think that, and the reason I said that I think this is going to be the last year that they have a window to win is next year you got to start paying people.
Yeah.
And people are going to start walking.
You've already seen it. You paid Michael Thomas. Now you got to pay Kamara.
You paid Cam Jordan. Now you've got to pay Marshawn Lattimore.
Yep. And then it becomes tougher to sign those better role pieces because you have less money to sign them. You have to sign older vets to a minimum.
Yeah, and I think they have the best role player in the safety position. Von Bell is very good. I don't think he deserves a big-time contract, though.
No, but if somebody has a good year, they want a big deal.
Yeah. But then you're going to have to start paying your offensive linemen, which I know a lot of them are old.
Another thing that's iffy on them is a center. Who was it that retired?
Max Unger?
Yeah.
But you see the dude that they got from A&M?
Yeah, but he's a rookie.
And I remember when they drafted Andres Pete a few years ago out of Stanford.
Yeah.
And he really hasn't developed, I think, into what they thought he would be, but he's come a long way.
Yeah.
And then they go out and get this kid in the second round, and I think they have higher hopes for him than they did Andres Pete.
I just don't see – that was a big piece they lost. It's hard to lose your center on an offensive line because I'm pretty sure he made all the calls.
Yeah, no doubt.
And now you have a different voice in the center of your offensive line.
He was the guy they got in the Jimmy Graham
Seattle deal. Yeah, they won that trade.
Absolutely.
But we'll just see how it goes. That's my prediction.
Yeah, well, that's definitely good predictions with the whole NFL talk. Now, to get to the meat of the show, it's college football season, and we can't be more excited.
Hell yeah.
We're gonna take an in-depth look at some key quarterback battles that we've seen kind of check out this in camp this fall.
And nothing's been hotter than Southern Florida and Miami.
Yeah,
what's going on down there?
Tate Martell's overrated as quarterback.
He must be. Never seen him lose a game starting a quarterback, but he must be terrible.
But you saw him run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
He's got wheels. He's a baller. Don't get me wrong.
He runs a 4.4 legit.
Well, they're moving him to the wide receiver now.
Yeah.
They're going to try him out there.
Probably going to be a slot guy.
If I were them, he would definitely be the slot guy.
Because I don't think anybody can run with him.
I think people can definitely run with him, but I think that he's very fast.
He'll be the fastest white guy on the field.
There's no doubt about it. But I think that he just made some... He made some decisions on where to go to school at, not based on offense that he would thrive in. You saw Urban Meyer, and I guess when people think of Urban Meyer, they'll always think of Tim Tebow and what Tim Tebow did at Florida with Urban Meyer.
But you got to also see who was there in Dan Mullen as well and what exactly. He does with quarterbacks.
And then you have to look at Ron. Okay, so he had Ron Daisy's offensive quarterback or coordinator, and he wants a quarterback that's going to stand in the pocket and throw the football. A la
Dwayne Haskins.
Exactly. Dwayne Haskins is not a dual threat guy.
No.
He can spin it, and he made very accurate
throws.
He's
a pure passer.
Yes. And I think that if you really want to thrive, if you were Tate Martell or even Justin Fields for that matter, you go somewhere like with Bill Snyder or Dan Mullen.
Exactly.
So that you're going to run the football.
Because you're going to be given the option to run more than you throw.
Yeah.
Look at what he did with Dak at Mississippi State. Coming out, Dak was considered a runner, not a passer. And now he's looking at a $40 million deal.
Well, even if you take and you look at Nick Fitzgerald with Dan Mullen.
He was a runner.
The only reason he was starting quarterback is because he could run the football like that.
He was a runner, not a passer. He's one of those. He throws for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns and beats me. I'm okay with that.
You live with that.
You have to.
And it's just not meant to be. So we got Jaren Williams winning the job in Miami, which
I've never heard of.
I think he played a little last year.
Yeah.
But he didn't play enough because he's still a redshirt freshman. And so then you have to look at Ohio State. And this is really what gets me. Justin Fields transfers to Ohio State and is granted immediate eligibility to play. Well, Ryan Day comes out and says that we don't have a quarterback yet. Neither one of them separated themselves.
Yeah.
And Gunnar Hoke is the guy that is pushing him to the limits.
Mm-hmm. He shouldn't be.
Apparently. I don't know if Ryan Day is coming out saying this just to maybe make Fields want to play better or what. To raise competition.
Who knows?
But if what he's saying is true, then we're looking at Justin Fields being very overrated as a quarterback.
And me and you said a lot last year watching him when he was in at Georgia. We're like, why won't they let him throw the football? Why won't they let him throw the football?
They never let him throw it hardly.
Well, maybe the thing is they see him every day. We don't. Maybe the thing is he can't throw the football.
I mean, it might be true.
He may not be able to throw the football in practice at that level.
Even in high school, his coach wouldn't let him throw the ball.
He ran the ball 40, 50 times a game in high school.
Which is why he snapped his finger in two different places.
That was stupid. If you're the number one quarterback in the nation, you should be throwing 200 yards a game at least in high school.
Well, I think ESPN is just a popularity contest.
It is. He won the Elite 11, so he won number one.
If you ever hear us talk about ratings or anything, we're definitely 24/7 sports.
Yeah. And Trevor Lawrence was clearly number one guy in that class.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, Justin Fields, five-star recruit in both. Very deserving because he can run the ball. He's very good.
But
I just don't see how a guy who can't beat out Terry Wilson Jr. at Kentucky.
Yes. Can beat out the five-star guy.
Pushes the number one quarterback in the country 2 years ago to his limits.
Doesn't make much sense, does it?
At all. Terry Wilson's not a good quarterback.
Mm-mm.
And if Kentucky had better quarterback play last year, they would have won more than 10 games.
Yeah. They were all Benny Snell.
Yes.
They went as far as he took them.
Well, even Terry Wilson didn't even throw the ball a lot. He ran the ball.
He was a runner.
So you have to really wonder, is Justin Fields overrated? Can he actually throw the football? And I guess we're going to find that out this season.
We're going to find out quick.
Because he's either going to lose that starting position job to Gunnar Hoke.
Yeah.
Or he's going to go in and he's going to show us what he's made of.
Yeah. We'll find out soon enough.
In Arizona State, they named the true freshman Jaden Daniels their starting quarterback already.
I think they were going to go true freshman either way, though, correct?
Correct. Yeah. They have an upperclassman on their team, an Elite 11 quarterback, but you've been there a while. It's a different system than what you're used to.
Yeah, brand new coach last year with Herm. He's going to implement his style. And you're going to start to see more of what he wants to run this year.
Which is running the football.
And even more next year.
Which is running the football.
He's going to implement that pro-style offense.
He got 2 4-star quarterbacks. And I remember on signing day, Arizona State, they're doing these cool videos throughout the day.
Yeah.
And they bring in a 4-star guy. And he's excited about it. You know, this is good. Then, 30 minutes later, they bring in another 4-star guy. And you automatically assume there's going to be a quarterback battle this year between these two guys.
Yep.
And Herm Edwards says, he was like, man, I'm glad we got two really good quarterbacks, but we're still going to run the football.
Yeah.
That
was made obvious last year with Manny because they had a good quarterback last year.
Yeah. And he stayed. And Herm Edwards told him, he's like, look, you're good. I like you, but we're going to run the football.
And he sacrificed for the team.
Exactly.
He was a team player and did what he had to do to help their team win.
And
because he had a good quarterback and a wide receiver, as we all know, was taken at the end of the first round by the Patriots and N'Keal Harry.
I think that's one of the reasons N'Keal Harry definitely wasn't coming back.
Yeah, he wasn't going to get the touches he felt he deserved and needed.
And he was a first round talent.
Anyway, yeah.
So I really think that Jaden Daniels will not struggle as much as any other true freshman quarterback.
Because there's going to be a heavy dose of running football.
Eno Benjamin may top 1,000 carries this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be up there. And if he doesn't lead the country in rushing yards, I will be highly surprised.
I wouldn't be too surprised.
They're going to run the ball. And they have a good offensive lineman.
They're going to run the ball, but there's also a team up north that likes to run the ball. Wisconsin. You forgetting about their running back?
No, I mean, I'm being serious. I really think he'll be the guy.
Taylor will lead the nation in rushing this year, and it won't be close.
It won't be close.
No.
You're saying that it won't be within 100 yards.
It may not be within 200.
And okay, so that's a good little side bit for us. We're going to keep an eye on that for sure.
Keep an eye on
it. So you're saying Taylor's going to be it, and I'm saying Benjamin's going to be it.
Yes.
I just think Benjamin's going to have more opportunity to run the football, especially with a true freshman quarterback.
This is Wisconsin we're talking about.
Oh, they don't have Hornibrook coming back either. So
they don't do anything but run the football.
Well, Hornibrook's in a battle at Florida State himself. You think that he can win that job?
If Hornibrook is Florida State's quarterback,
they have problems.
Clemson definitely doesn't have anything to worry about.
Not one thing. Getting past Syracuse is, I mean, that's it.
Beat Syracuse and Boston College, and you're good.
I don't even think Boston College would be that bad to them.
Well, they lost A.J. Dillon, so they're probably done.
Yeah.
I don't know. The ACC's weak, man.
The only team you have that I can tell you without a doubt I think is going to be bowl eligible is Wake Forest. And the only reason I say that is because they find a way to get 6 wins every year.
Yeah. See what Sam Hartman does.
Yeah. Well, I think Duke would probably.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see opening weekend.
We'll see how many injuries they have after week one.
You know, they haven't replaced Daniel Jones, which was vital to their offense.
Yeah.
So that's why
But they still won like 6-7 games last year.
Yeah, and he didn't play the whole season.
Yeah.
I just think that if you're betting money that Florida State's going to contend with Clemson, you shouldn't be a gambling man.
No. And people can talk about the Pac-12 all they want, about how bad it is. But this year, I will confidently say the ACC is the worst Power 5 division in football. And it's not close.
It's not close. Yeah, you have too many
teams. Marginally worse than the Pac-12, the Big 12, and they're way worse than the Big 10 and the SEC.
Yeah. Because Clemson's your only team.
And that's it.
And people
they may win a national championship. The ACC may win a national championship. But it's going to be Clemson and Clemson only. You look at the SEC, okay, Bama, LSU, Georgia, maybe Auburn.
I don't buy the Auburn hop.
I don't either. But, yeah, throw them in there because you never know.
A lot of people, if we're going to throw in hype, a lot of people are hyped with Florida.
Yeah, and everybody's like, who's going to make it out?
And a lot of people are hyped with Missouri because of their strength of schedule.
I'll say this. As long as Felipe Franks is Florida's quarterback, I'm not worried about Florida.
No, I wouldn't be either.
And I don't think LSU is going to be anything to worry about because they still can't beat Bama.
No.
But they're going to open it. They're going to try and open it up this year. We'll see how that goes. With the pass, they got the passing coordinator from the Saints coming in, supposedly changing everything up, but we'll see.
I don't really like that whole, we got a pass game coordinator, we got a run game coordinator.
You have an offense coordinator, run your offense.
Yes.
You're going to run the spread or you're going to run the eye.
I think that's why Michigan is sucks so bad all the time.
They don't know what they want
to
be.
Because you have too many people trying to be something. They have co-offensive coordinators, co-defensive coordinators.
Do you want to be a pro-style offense or a spread, run, gun type offense?
And at Michigan is definitely they want to be a pro-style offense.
Exactly. But back to what I was saying, you have all these teams in the SEC. You have Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State maybe if they replaced a quarterback, fighting for the Big Ten. You got Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12. And then out west, you have Oregon, Washington.
I think
everybody's going to hype USC.
I think you have to throw Utah in that mix.
Yes.
Because of their schedule also.
Utah's tough to beat at home.
And they drew a really good straw this year.
They struggle. Utah always struggles on the road. You rarely see them play a bad game at home. And that's why when you see Utah at home this year, I'm more than likely going to pick them when they're home.
And I wouldn't blame you at all if you picked them every single home game because it's kind of like LSU at home. LSU plays better at night in Death Valley.
And it's not close.
It's just a given fact. Utah, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to compare Utah stadium or fans to Death Valley and LSU.
No.
But it's kind of similar and scary the way that they win at home.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't look into stuff like that.
Mm-mm.
If I had to give you a dark horse contender for the playoff spot,
yeah,
it would probably be Utah.
And I can see that happening.
I don't think Texas can beat Oklahoma twice.
I don't either.
I don't think that USC can do anything in the Pac-12.
They're still too young.
I don't think Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. And I think Ohio State still is going to have a blemish on their schedule. Yeah,
they always do.
I think you're literally going to see kind of the same repetitive stuff throughout the year. And I mean, college football has an identity problem because people assume that it's Clemson and Bama
every year. And you're right to assume that.
Yes.
We assume that.
As someone said, you can have Clemson or Alabama or the field, and those are your only three options, the field is automatically out.
No question. Nobody's going to take the field.
No.
Realistically.
That means there has to be two upsets against the same team.
Yes.
You do not see that. Not with teams like that.
It's not going to happen.
I mean, teams like Ole Miss get beat all the time. But
that's Ole Miss.
You have to really think that the conferences have to do something.
What can they do, though? Because the brand's already out there. It's not like you can sit there and say, tell high school kids, oh, you can't go there. Because that's what it is now. The brands are built. They're going to get the number one players, and everybody else has to go into player development mode and develop your guys into beating those, because they're just going to get the better players out of high school. Will they pan out? Not all of them, but more than likely, they're going to have more studs than you do. And you have to develop your kids to be able to compete on that level with them and out-scheme them, which is very tough when you talk about Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson, because along with all the talent they have, Dabo, Nick Saban, and Kirby Smart are very seldomly out-schemed in a game.
Yeah. And here's what I'm a fan of. And I've told you this, and you always ask me, how do you work out logistics? Here's a simple solution on how to work out logistics. You have professors at your universities that have doctorates in operations management. Go ask them for their advice on how do you work out logistics. Okay? That's literally what they have a doctorate in. I think that, first of all, that helps you in that category.
Yeah.
Second of all, I'm a fan of what Clay Travis proposes. And I'm not going to sit here and try to take the credit for what he says. You have to have a conference mashup first week.
Yes.
Now, you say, how do you work that out? Work that out however you want to. I don't care. But until you have teams, because Nick Saban says it's hard. We schedule these cupcakes because nobody wants to play us.
Yeah.
And that's not him bragging. That's not him, you know, boasting how good he is. It's just, it's a simple truth. Would you want to play Alabama week one?
No.
So, I mean,
ask anybody in the country.
I mean, that's Florida State. No. They thought they were going to beat them, and
you don't want it.
It's just,
you don't want to play them week one. I'd rather play them week one than week nine, if you give me that option.
Yeah, because, I mean, then you can't, when you lose week nine, you can't recover
in
rankings.
I'd rather play them early, but if I have a choice to play Alabama or Jackson State, I'm picking Jackson State.
Yeah. But then you have to pay them so much money to come and all this.
But another thing with the conference mashup deal, though, you're going to have, unless you enforce it to where ones have to play ones, you're going to have Alabama playing Rutgers.
I think it should be ones playing ones.
And Ohio State playing Vanderbilt.
Yes, he said Vanderbilt, in my opinion, should play Rutgers.
That's how it's going to go.
You know, Ole Miss should play like Michigan State. You take 1 through 14.
We're not middle of the pack like that.
You take 1 through 14.
We're playing maybe Iowa.
I was still really good in the Big Ten.
Yeah, but I mean,
they were a game away from going to the title game.
Okay, that's just one of their years. That's like our 2014.
But you take 1 through 14 from each side. You do 7 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So let's say you do odd numbers or Big Ten home games, even numbers or SEC home games.
Yeah.
And you take them and you play them. That's going to create, say, Monday Night Football, that opening Labor Day weekend. You're going to have Ohio State and Alabama playing in either Bryant Denny or the Shoe. Who's not going to watch that?
a non-sports fan.
Sunday, you'll probably have Michigan and Georgia playing. I mean, what? Who's not going to watch that? Even sports fans would probably, non-sports fans would watch it.
Yeah.
And then you do the Pac-12 with the Big 12 or the Pac-12 with the ACC or something, and you rotate it. You have to do something if you want to stop having this identity problem, because the NBA doesn't have it anymore.
It's not going to change, and you're not going to have more parity until Washington wins the Pac-12 again, or USC becomes more relevant, or UCLA gets it going with Chip Kelly, and then the teams out west can start keeping those California kids at home rather than them coming across the country to the SEC. Because you're going to have Texas kids go everywhere. The kids up north go to Ohio State, Michigan, or they come to the SEC.
Yeah.
Nobody stays. Everybody comes to the SEC or Texas, more than likely.
I think you make a really good point with that. Because if you look in recent memory,
yeah,
the top quarterbacks from California,
they're coming to the SEC.
Blake Barnett comes to mind, number one quarterback in the country, Alabama.
Tua from Hawaii.
Alabama.
Matt Corral
was going to go to Florida.
And then he swats with the Ole Miss.
So he's still in the SEC.
He's still down here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not our fault they don't want to stay home.
Yeah. You want to come play in the best conference, and it's the SEC.
Yeah. And the Pac-12 has been so down since Oregon went on their runs. The Pac-12 has been down, and there's been really nothing out there keeping kids there. If USC gets back, that will keep California kids there.
So, I mean, I think it's the only thing, too, because you look at California, who's going to go to Washington? Seattle's not really a college town. No. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Chris Peterson in Washington and Mike Leake with Washington State.
But
it doesn't happen for a lot of California kids to go there.
Yeah. They're used to 70 degrees year round. It's easier to adjust to 90 and 100, whereas in Washington you have rain and 20 degrees every day.
That's like Real Mitchell when he went from Cali to Iowa State.
And it was snowing on its moving day. He was like,
that wasn't just snow, because that was a blizzard.
It was like,
well, that's crazy to think.
I'm not in Cali anymore.
No, you're not. That's
wild.
That's a really good point that they need to keep their kids at home.
Yeah.
I think that if we're talking about the best California-based team, it's not USC or UCLA.
Nope.
It's Cal and what they're building there. If they can get a couple guys in on offense.
I just don't see it happening, though.
I think.
Because with the brand of USC and UCLA and Chip Kelly, Wilcox is going to have to go to a New Year's Six Bowl before anything changes.
I think he has the talent on defense to do it.
They still have to score, because they had that talent last year and they were losing games 10-3.
Yeah.
You give up 10 points a game on average on the course of college football season, you'd say they were in the playoff.
Yes.
No, they weren't even a thought.
Exactly. That's what's crazy about it.
If you give up less than 20 points a game.
They won six or seven games last year?
And had a top five defense.
I mean, that just tells you either you need a new OC or you desperately need something.
You desperately need a quarterback.
Because they were very inconsistent and they kept swapping quarterbacks.
Yeah, they struggled to score against us for a while.
Yeah.
And we had a terrible defense last year.
Well, the guy that even played against us, I don't even know if he's still on their roster anymore.
I don't even know who it is.
I don't know. I remember his number was like number three or something like that. But I think you'll see. I will definitely see firsthand what they're made of when they come rolling to Oxford. Week four. So I think that'll be a very interesting game to keep an eye on.
It's a nice tune up for Bama.
Yeah, it definitely is with that 3-4 scheme defense.
We'll see what Matt Corral is going to do against a high profile defense early.
Yeah, even before you go to Bryant-Denny,
because you'll see sort of some of the same schemes that you'll see in Bryant-Denny when you can't hear.
I don't know if you'll see the same schemes.
You'll see sort of the same stuff. Like, you'll know what a real defense looks like before you go there.
Yeah, it's just will cost us so much with hot disguising his schemes and blitzes and everything.
Yeah.
It's actually really crazy how he does it.
But it's not going to be like playing Southeastern Missouri for four games and then rolling into Alabama and being like, okay.
Well, we're 4-0. We can do this. We got it. And then get beat 66-7.
Get swacked.
I mean, it still could happen. I just hope it doesn't.
We'll see. We won't beat them by any stretch of imagination. I just hope we're in it at halftime.
Well, I mean, since we're talking about Ole Miss a little bit, what do you make of the all season in Oxford, and what are your predictions for the season, realistically?
I mean, he made two good hires. I don't think he could have hired two better coordinators than he did.
Yeah. Surround yourself with the best because you're not that good.
No, because he's not.
So he went out and got two former coaches of the year.
In Power Five conferences. You let them do their thing, and you do your cheerleader things that you do.
Your job now, if you're Matt Luke, your job now is to hop the team up before the games, and you take all the credit that your coordinators do for you.
I'm a bigger fan of Kyler Murray now than I may have ever been because he didn't go play baseball. Because I believe wholeheartedly, if he goes and plays baseball, we do not get Jerry and Ely.
No, you don't.
And that was a huge get for our offense. Maybe not this year immediately, but next year he will definitely be our number one guy.
Yeah, he can do too much.
And Corral needed that. If Corral's going to be your guy going forward 3 years, he needs that staple guy beside him in the backfield. And that's something we hadn't had in a long time. A quarterback and a running back here at the same time, leaving at the same time.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, leaving at the same time. Because, you know, you have Scotty Phillips, but now he's going to go through Tomu and now Corral.
Especially with RPOs that Rich Rod's probably going to want to run, you have to have that chemistry with the give and the pull.
Yeah, that's going to be the offense. Like, that is the offense.
And after this year, maybe even halfway through next year, it's just going to be like, I don't know, brushing your teeth, whatever it is. It's just going to be second nature.
It's just going to be like putting on your pants in the morning, you know?
You ain't even going to think about it.
See, I'm really excited about the Mike McIntyre hire.
Yeah.
Now, I was a McIntyre fan, you know, before he talked to me and lost pizza. But I think schematically on defense,
we should be better.
Because people are like, well, you know, you say, well, you can't get any worse. That's true, but I just think that we're going to have guys in better position to make plays than what McGriff had us in.
Because you look, last year, everybody was lost.
Yeah.
Like, it was obvious.
I think even McGriff was lost or didn't care.
We weren't even trying anymore.
It never looked like that the defense fully knew what they were doing, especially the secondary.
After Jones and Custis got hurt, it was over.
Yeah.
Like, we had no one in our secondary.
And that's another reason why I like the McIntyre hire, is because he's a DB guy.
Yep.
And he's gonna hopefully reshape that secondary.
Hopefully he can do something with Miles Hartsfield.
There may not be hope for him.
Unfortunately, yes.
So do you think Matt Corral is going to be able to get the job done? Or do you think that he may be on a tighter leash than people think?
He's not. I don't think he's on a tight leash. I don't think it matters what he does. He's playing through Bama.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't matter what he does. He's getting that game. Now, if we're down 45-0 at halftime, I think, yeah, you come out with Tisdale in the second half. But I just don't see that happening.
I don't either. I think that Matt Corral is very similar to the guy that we had a few years ago, Shea Patterson, in the way that they're have really good arm talent.
He's not quite the runner, but he has the biggest arm of a quarterback that's ever been here. He may have the biggest arm of any quarterback to ever start for Ole Miss.
I mean, and people are probably maybe listening to this, hopefully, and saying, bigger than Chad Kelly? Yes.
Trent
can spin it.
Trent Dilfer made the comparison at the Elite 11. You can go back and look it up. The guy's a gunslinger and thinks he can put it in any window just like Brett Favre.
And let me tell you something. If Trent Dilfer told me that the sky's red, I'm going to believe him.
Yes.
I don't know why, but I would. And I really think the crowd can spin it. But the key to get him going in this offense you talk about with Jake Fromm and DeAndre Swift all the time, you're going to have a
We're going to have to be able to run the ball.
And I don't. And that's the question mark because of the offensive line. We graduated four or five guys last year.
Everything's pointing to Givens being able to play week one, but he's still dealing with his back, and it's not 100%. So it's potential we come out week one.
Five new starters
on the offensive line, plus a new starting quarterback, and then you have a senior running back.
Plus a complete new set of wide receivers.
Yes. Yep, we'll see how it goes.
It's definitely going to be fun to watch.
You look at it and say that's a bad thing, but you can look at it another way and say, well, you don't have nine starters returning who's having to learn a totally new system and revert to what they did last year or this year. You have guys, okay, this is all I know, and this is what we're going to do.
You also have nine guys now that you don't have film on.
No.
And you go ask Kirby Smart in Georgia what that's like coming out at halftime.
Ain't good.
And there's a whole different quarterback in the game. So literally your entire defense has to change on the fly.
On the spot.
Which is the reason I think Mahomes was so good last year, was nobody knew that he was capable of this. And don't get me wrong. That definitely can be a bad thing too.
The wide receivers are young.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're studs, but they're young. I'm not saying they're going to come out and be everything that we've had.
I mean, you look at AJ, he wasn't really targeted a lot his freshman
year. They're going to have to learn.
Yeah.
They're going to go through their growing pains. But I think you look next year, and we're right back where we were last year with even more depth.
You kind of have to think, well, battles probably – or Moore is probably your veteran guy.
Battle is
Braylon Sanders.
Battle's DK. He's my DK for this year. And then you have Moore coming back. Braylon's coming back. And then you have Mingo, who is your next AJ Brown, or at least by the metrics is.
Then you have the two kids from Tupelo.
Yeah.
Which are very good in their own right.
And then you have a Jackson kid from Summerall, who supposedly can fly.
And then at tight end, you have Tavius Cooley coming back and Pellerin.
Yep.
Which I feel like Pellerin's been here for 16 years.
As young as we are, we have two veteran tight ends, and I still say that's probably our worst position on offense.
You think that's worse than maybe left guard or left tackle?
Yeah.
You think Givens is going to move to the left tackle position?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I just think you live with it. We're not competing for the SEC this year. I think if you come out hot and go 4-0, you're grateful.
If you come out 4-0,
you're grateful.
Going into Tuscaloosa,
I don't see how that happens, but you're grateful.
I think that you definitely, if you come out 4-0 heading into Tuscaloosa, you definitely have a chance to make some noise.
Yeah.
And upset some people.
Not Alabama.
No. But then you're looking at maybe your only losses is to Bama and LSU.
Because who knows what Auburn is? Everybody's talking about Auburn.
I don't buy it.
They got a new starting quarterback this year.
They haven't named a starter either.
They lost a lot of pieces on defense.
I just don't buy it, man. We see this every single year. It's like every 3 years, Auburn is going to be the real deal. Auburn's going to beat Bama this year. I don't see that that's happening.
Last year was the year to do it.
I think that Auburn will be another 7-5, 8-4 team, and Malzahn gets fired because now his buyout is 1 year salary less.
Yep.
Which is the only reason that they did not let him go last year.
And they were almost ready to pay that.
I'm honestly not surprised that there was not a GoFundMe started. That raised a lot of money.
There was Auburn fans in Oxford last year who, before the game, they were like, I almost hope we get beat today so we can just go ahead and fire him. I'll pay him myself. Just get him out of here.
It's kind of like after Matt Luke gets the job, and he really got that job because he beat Mississippi State.
Yes.
You kind of look back and think, was it really worth it?
No.
In the moment, yes. I'll never forget the moment.
To win, yes. But
looking back in retrospect,
no.
It wasn't worth it.
No.
He should be in Mobile, Alabama right now, being the head coach at South Alabama.
I'd be happy.
And I
may be in the same situation, but I could live with it.
I would too. You have a lot of people that aren't friends of the program because of this now.
I think this year you really see what's going to happen because there's nothing looming over the head of the team this year. Last year, no matter what happened, they could have went undefeated last year. It didn't matter. They still weren't going to a bowl. And ultimately, when you have nothing to play for, it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's like, what are we doing?
It's easy to sit on the outside looking in saying, well, you still get the scholarship. You still get to play football.
But still, you don't.
Why am I going to go out here and hurt myself?
Yeah.
Just like DK. Why am I going to go out here and hurt myself when I have first
nothing
round
to
talent?
Play for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think shutting him down was the best decision.
Yes. Now, there's no need for him to come back.
If we're undefeated, playing for a spot in the national championship, and he can come back for that playoff game.
Come on.
Yeah. Let's go.
But
there's no point in it. I agree.
But that's the reason I think you'll see people playing better this year.
Yeah, having something
because
to play
there's
for.
Something to play for. You can play for that extra week this year. And I think we need it. Matt Luke needs it.
A lot of people may not know this. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff going on in Oxford that shouldn't be. But we don't have a chancellor and we don't have an athletics director full time. And so you kind of got to, if you're Matt Luke, you kind of have to be nervous because once you get that new chancellor, once you get that new athletics director, they want their guy.
If you ain't winning, you're gone, cuzzy.
And you're on an even tighter leash because you're not their guy.
Nope. They want their guy. If you ain't winning, we'll see you later.
If you ain't first, you're last. Plain and simple. If you're not winning natties, we don't want you.
No.
And that's what a lot of ADs think.
And I think it's the same at every school in the SEC. The standard is Alabama.
And it shouldn't be.
No, but that is it.
Yes. And Georgia doesn't help matters.
You're judged. In the West, you're judged off of what you do against Bama every year. And in the East now, you're judged on how you match up against Georgia. If you are non-competitive in those games, it don't matter if you win every other game. You can see it with LSU, and you see it with Auburn some years. If you're not beating Alabama, it doesn't matter what else you do, you're gone.
Yeah.
We're going to go find somebody or give somebody else an opportunity to see if we can get over the hump and beat them.
Les Miles, Mark Richt.
Couldn't do it. So eventually, it's like, yeah, you're winning 10 games a year, but you still can't beat them.
There is one coach I think that if he did not leave his program that never beat Bama, that they would have been okay with it. And that was Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
And he left on his own. But I really think that Mississippi State would have never said, okay, well, you need to beat Bama. As long as you're beating Ole Miss, which, let's face it, did not happen very often in the Mullen era.
He won his first three, and then when Freeze came to town, that was sort of over.
And then he won one more.
He couldn't beat Hugh Freeze.
So
they were getting tired of him because he couldn't beat Ole Miss.
And then your old AD is at Florida, so you leave. I mean, all the signs pointed to it. I get it.
I mean, I don't blame him one bit.
No. It's a better program. It's where you really want to be.
Yeah.
First of all, if it's where you really want to be,
it don't matter.
You don't owe the guys you recruited
no.
an explanation for that. Guys, this is my dream job. I'm going to take it.
It's like Matt Luke killed Alabama could come offer him tomorrow, and he wouldn't leave.
No,
he's at his dream job.
And I've said this to you plenty of times with Kingsbury and a lot of people. People take their dream jobs too early.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of sucks about it. Because you look at Kingsbury, Tech was his dream job. It's what he wanted, and he got it. But I don't think he wasn't ready. He was not. He never played. He never even coached in a Power Five conference.
Yeah.
Well, I take that back. He was at A&M for 1 year.
He was Manziel guy.
Okay. Johnny Manziel got him the job.
Yeah.
But other than that, you saw the numbers he did put up with as the coordinator at Houston. But you gotta have a little bit more experience, in my opinion. My dream job would not be the first head coaching position I took.
No.
Just plain and simple.
There's only one young guy where everything's worked out that's been hired.
Kirby Smart.
Younger than that.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that was his dream job.
Yeah.
And he got it first.
I don't necessarily mean dream job, just like young head coach, period.
Which is who?
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
That's the only place it's worked out.
And it kind of just fell in his lap.
He was sort of like the coach in waiting, but 4 or 5 years down the line.
Yeah.
And Bob Stoops, just out of the blue, was done coaching, and it was like he basically told Oklahoma, hire this guy.
Well, that's like Muschamp when he was at Texas. He was coaching waiting.
He should have never left.
And then
I think if he could go back and do that all over again, he'd never leave.
Yeah, because he didn't realize how hard. Yeah. He didn't realize how short of a time Matt Brown was actually going to stay coaching at Texas.
I could have told him that. And I was.
They were getting tired of him.
13 years old.
Yeah. And you take that job at Florida, which was a not a very good situation. No. Urban Meyer built the program on quicksand, just like he did with Ohio State.
Yep.
And then you go and you take that program over. Well, hell, we can't get a quarterback. That is the downfall with Muschamp every single year.
He still doesn't have one. He's never had one.
Yeah, and I will say this to you right now. I was a Bentley guy early on. I told you he's going to be good.
You were.
I have never – the only time I've ever been more wrong about a quarterback in my life was when I thought Jeremiah Masoli was going to save Ole Miss football.
That was terrible.
And this is actually up there with him because I thought – Bentley's it, man. He's going to be good this year. This is going to be his breakout year. And he just never can get there. He has so much potential that they just can't do any. He can't get better. I don't understand it.
I don't know, man. You never know.
You really don't. But
I thought Shea Patterson was our savior.
I don't know that there could have been just one guy for that.
Yeah, but he had DK and AJ.
Okay, but they hadn't really burst onto the scene until the sophomore season, and then everything happens.
Still, you have both of them and Shea Patterson. You saw the writing on the wall of what was going to be.
He just can't handle the lot.
No, he hadn't won a meaningful game since the Elite 11 championship. That's the last big-time game he won.
Yes, and you are very correct about it.
He has not won a big game since that day.
And you can say, well, the A&M game was big.
No.
Yeah, what Sumlin was, they really didn't like what they had.
No.
The only way you can describe that as a big game was it was at night in Kyle Field.
And he didn't even build off of it. He lost his next 2 weeks. You lose to Vandy, then you lose State, and it's over.
Well, he only beats a Power 5 conference one other time.
Yeah.
Or a team from a part, and that was Vanderbilt.
Yep.
At home.
I don't know, man. Michigan's playing two quarterbacks, so we can't even talk about them this year.
I guess they're either going to win Harbaugh's way, or by God, they're going to lose his way.
Because if you got two quarterbacks, you might as well have zero.
Well, you know, Spurrier says, you know, we're going to play two. There ain't a rule that says you can't play two, so we're going to play two.
Yeah.
And he's actually one of the few coaches that played two quarterback systems.
It worked.
And it worked out pretty decent.
He's it.
Because Florida tried to do that.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But what do you think Ole Miss's record will be at the end of this year?
All right, I have two predictions.
I have two predictions as well.
We lose week one. We're going to lose week two. We're going to win week three. We're going to lose week four. We're going to lose week five. And we're going to be sitting there 1-4. Not looking very good. I think then we beat Vandy. We win our other non-conference game. And maybe one more. Depends on what Missouri's doing. And that's it. We win three or four games. We win week one. I think we come back and we handle Arkansas and then we're 3-0. Cal's a coin flip. We're not going to beat Bama. And then I think we get to 7. I think it's either 3 or 7.
We hadn't really discussed this before just now. Uh-uh. And we literally are thinking the exact same thing.
It's 3 or 7.
Because I really feel like we're either going to win 3 ball games or we're going to win 7 ball games. And it all depends on what happens in the Liberty Bowl.
No. Yep. That's crazy.
Because if you're sitting at 4-0 going into Tuscaloosa,
if you compete,
you have a potential to really do shit.
If you go in there and you're 4-0, we're not going to beat Bama. But nothing's even if ever
it's close at half.
If you just play good, you're okay. You're okay with that.
Yeah, do not hang your head.
If you just hang with them for a half, you're fine. You still have your confidence and momentum moving forward. And you can find 3 more wins.
Even if you hang with them for a half, it's going to depend on
Corral.
Yeah.
Because I think the way you beat Bama and the way we're going to win games this year is if Corral has it and finds it early in ball games, Rich Rod's going to jump on the gas and it's going to be going fast.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we're going to win ball games is because we're going to be so fast, we're going to wear a defense out, and they're not going to be able to stop us.
We're going to get back to the old school Hugh Freeze era when we're snapping the ball with 34 seconds left on the play clock.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
If we're going fast, we're fine. When we slow it down, we're in trouble.
Yeah. And that's the way his offense is designed.
Yeah. But realistically, 3 or 7, that's it.
Yeah, and I really don't know if there's an in-between.
No. No more, no less.
Well, I'm really shocked that we're seeing eye to eye on that.
Yeah. I did not expect that to go the way that did.
Because, like, that's...
We have not talked about this at all.
It's either going to be really, really bad.
Yeah. Or we're going to have some hope.
Or we're going to have a good season. Because 7 wins for us this year would be very good.
We get 7 this year. I'm very much looking forward to next year.
Yeah. And Matt Luke can definitely stay.
Yes.
Only if Rich Rod and McIntyre agree to stay as well.
Yeah. Because that's what the ship's going to be. They're running the ship.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think both of them are going to be in the booth this year on the sideline?
I think McIntyre's up top and you have Rich Rod on the field.
I think they'll both be in the booth.
You think?
Yeah.
Because I just think Rich Rod's that guy that's going to get in somebody's grill and fire somebody up. So he needs to be down.
Yeah, he is kind of a dick.
Yeah. You heard some of the shit he says?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Well, I saw him in Walmart, and he kind of just didn't even want to be approached.
Oh, yeah. Just ask him about Pat McAfee.
Yeah. That's what I would have if I was there.
Yeah.
All right. So, that's some good predictions for Ole Miss football.
What?
All right. So, with the Ole Miss stuff out of the way, you know, discussion it, who do you think will be the 4 teams in the playoff this year? Let's go on and make our predictions for
it. Okay. This will be Jake Fromm's best chance to beat Bama.
It will be.
They will not get it done because their defense will not be able to stop them. And Alabama will make a late stop and they'll win the game. So Bama goes. Clemson will walk in on the red carpet with really without a test. And then Ohio State's going to lose a game that they should win. We don't know who their quarterback is. Michigan still can't beat them. So I think the Big Ten's out once again, left out. Then you go, if Sam Ehlinger's Texas quarterback the entire year, I don't care who Oklahoma's quarterback is, Rattler or Hurts, but I think they win the Big 12 and go undefeated and they get in. And then I think it's a battle from who wins the Washington-Oregon game. So I'm going to go Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Washington.
Ooh. There's a really good thoughts, but I'm going to disagree with you because I think that the committee is going to find themselves in a very, very tough spot this year.
The Pac-12 is good enough this year to get a team in. they have enough teams to where a team, if somebody goes undefeated out there, they're in.
Yeah.
I don't care what happens.
And I also think that team is Washington.
I think Washington can get in with a loss.
I think Washington is going to be so much better this year with under new
quarterback. Nobody's talking about Jacob Eason.
No. And they really should be.
I think the Washington-Oregon game is going to be a great game, but it's in Seattle, so I have to lean Washington.
I think that the committee is going to have a problem because, in my opinion, I think Georgia does beat Bama this year.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to look at it. Okay, do we want to put Bama as the 3 seed and Washington as the 4? Because I think it's going to be Clemson, Georgia, and then Bama, Washington, or Washington, Bama. Whichever way the committee swings it, because do we want to have a chance to have an all SEC championship again? Or do we want to have see Clemson, Bama part 5, but not national championship?
Yeah.
And I really think that that's where it's going to head this year.
I just don't think it's the year for Georgia.
Well, I mean, if it's not this year, it's not going to happen. Just like this, not for this court, at least. They can maybe beat them next year or the year after that, but I don't think you'll be in title contentions as much as you are right now.
Yeah.
Because Jake Fromm is the guy.
That's why, benching off that, going back to Ole Miss, that's why I'm so excited to see if we can get momentum for next year.
Yeah.
Because if we can have a solid year and Matt Corral has a solid year, we're the only team in the West bringing back a quarterback. Mine's gone. Burrow's gone.
You think Mine will leave?
He's a senior, isn't he?
No, I think he's a junior.
Well, if he's a junior, he's back. Well, you have Corral, Mine. Burrow's gone. What's his name? At State's a one-year guy. He's a grad transfer
from Penn State. The Stevens.
Tommy Stevens. Tua's gone. And then you have Auburn
will bring their quarterback back. Either Joey Gatewood or Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, I feel like it should be Bo Nix.
And we'll have us or Auburn will have the best quarterback coming back.
Yeah.
In the West. And whoever Arkansas wants to throw in there. Really don't think it matters.
No, it doesn't. You think they finished last this year in SEC again?
I don't know. I think it's a race between us and them.
I think it'll be a race between them and Vanderbilt. I'm talking like just overall.
Vanderbilt's better than Tennessee.
Well, there's a surprise.
There you go.
I think they'll struggle because Kyle Shermer was a 4-year starter.
But anyways, we'll see.
All right, so we agree on everything but the Georgia-Bama thing for the playoff.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun season to see how that ends.
I just don't think the Big Ten has enough to get in.
I don't either. I agree with you on that.
And the SEC is the only conference that can get 2.
I think if they don't put 2 SEC schools in, then I think it'll be the Big 12.
Yeah.
Because it's
Texas or Oklahoma.
Yeah. That's it. Unless something crazy just happens with Iowa State or something. I think that there would be the only dark horse in the conference.
Iowa State wins that conference. Georgia gets in with a loss. No doubt.
Yeah.
They'll put a 1-loss Georgia over Iowa State.
Well, an undefeated Iowa State, you think so?
I don't think you. Yeah. You never know what Notre Dame's going to do either. Because Ian Book's good.
Ian Book is good. But if USC wants to get on the right track, they've got to beat Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple as that.
They should have beat them last year.
If Michigan wants to be in the playoff, they've got to beat Notre Dame. Simple as that.
They got to beat Ohio State.
I mean, they got to beat Notre Dame, too.
Yeah, but they got to get the monkey off their back.
Yeah, but Notre Dame's going to be there for Ohio State.
Yeah.
And if they lose to Notre Dame, then I could probably say.
And they got them both at home this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good draw.
But they lost their defense. They lost their 3 most valuable pieces on defense. Bush, Gary, and Winovich. So, they're out.
I think they're out either way, yeah. I don't think they're good enough offensively.
Shea Patterson's their quarterback. I'm not worried about Michigan.
No. If McCaffrey was their starting quarterback all time,
I'd see.
I would be like, okay, let's see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But Shea Patterson, no.
Yeah. Well, man, you got any final thoughts?
About to head home, man.
That's good.
See you in about 2 weeks.
I'm going to miss you, man. I have just one little thing. We'll do a movie review real quick. If you haven't seen the movie Long Shot with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron, you definitely should check it out because it's low-key really good.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I don't lead you astray with movies often. And that was a really good movie with really good acting and chemistry in it.
Yeah.
So that's definitely worth your time.
Oh, yeah.
But with that being said, we are officially kicking off season 2 of the ARA Sports Podcast. We hope you download it, listen to it, and come back every week. Hopefully, though, we'll have some insight for you.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
If not, maybe we can just give you a laugh with how dumb we are.
Yeah. Either way, we're here to entertain. So, everyone have a great rest of the summer, and we will see y'all then.
See ya.